was tempted. By an early age I found I liked sinning. Oh, I should have turned it down. There were prophets, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I made. We had choices since the day that we were born. There were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices we made. I guess I'm paying for the choices I have done. If I could go back, oh Lord knows I'd run. I've been losing this game of life I play. Oh Jesus, forgive me for wrong choices I've made. As for me and our house of worship, we shall choose him. Choose him rather than choose passing pleasures of sin. Make the choice to obey, or else choose to pay. We have such choices. Choose to serve him and sing to him today. Choices. Jesus, you paid for all the wrong things I have done. And now, Lord Jesus, from sin I do run. Now I'm winning as I live life your way. Oh, Jesus, forgive the wrong choices I've made. Now the choices made when I was born again are the voices that keep me from all sin. Now I listen. On the rock I stand today, ready to live with the choice I made. Ready to live with the choice I
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Richard from the Radio Ranch, coming to you live this April 6th, 2023. Spring is in the air. Thank you, Lord. We got up to, 38 degrees today, and nice, very, very good sunshine. Snow, it's melting where we've driven. How about that? And it's springtime. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. And we do. And well, Remnant, thanks for joining us. Been a busy day here at the Radio Ranch, in and out, working on the next newsletter. Jason and I both. He's got some stuff put together and been working on it all day today. And so we're gonna. The plan is we'll hopefully get that kind of tweaked in today, tomorrow, and then we'll get it to you. But we thank you for allowing us to do these things, to be about the Father's business. It's exciting. It is. Lots going on. But we better pray before we get going. Want to sure do what we encourage you to do, and that is pray. You know, before you have an event, before you go to do something, whether it's traveling or starting the day or having a radio broadcast. So hope you'll join me. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the blessings that you've poured out upon us this day, the blessings of health and healing and restoral, Lord, and awakening that we're seeing in people all over the country, Lord. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray for the remnant. I pray, Lord, for your blessings to be upon them that have turned from the ways of the world. For those that have, well, Lord, have come to their senses as the prodigal son did in the story that you tell us. And I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, your blessings, your mercy and grace to be upon them. Strengthen them, Lord. Help them, Lord, as they are starting gardens and as they are repairing, Lord, friendships, repairing rifts that may have happened in families. Lord, as they are forgiving and comforting, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunities that come up to do those things. And thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that our talk tonight, Lord, would be an encouraging time to your people, that it would recharge their batteries and draw them closer to you as your servants, Lord, as you have called us to do what you have put before us. Strengthen each and every one of us to do that very thing. And thank you. Thank you for it. And I pray all this, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And, well, Remnant again, April 6th. It's a live program. The phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And hope you joined us Sunday evening for the early evening this past Sunday for the live Passover service. From the LaPorte Church, and I recorded it on CD, so or on DVD. I guess I could do it on CD as well, but we do have it on DVD. So if you'd like it, request it. We'd be glad to send it to you. And I think eventually we may try to put several of those together. I've got several of the DVDs, even of some that Pastor did over the years, and a few of those anyway, and. And then some, you know, some that we've done and over the last several years. And so if you'd like those, we have them available. We do have I know with so many new people coming in, they say, oh, Passover, what, are you Jewish? Is that what you do? And no, we're not Jewish. But the Bible talks of Passover. Certainly the resurrection of Jesus Christ it talks about as well. That's what they tend to promote on Easter. But the Passover, when you read about it back in Exodus, it was to be an everlasting covenant from generation to generation, an everlasting observance. And so we don't have it all figured out, but you know, when you read something like that, and you don't read a contradictory, you don't read Jesus saying, do not do this, then it's like, well, let's do that. Now, we understand that Christ is our Passover. You know, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. He was. And so we understand that. We're not legalists. We don't just live in the Old Testament, but we do our best to try to understand all of the Bible and see how all of the Bible ties in with all the rest of the Bible. And so we have a great book that Pastor put together called Communion. It's Potential Blessings, Curses, and Need. It's part of the information pack we've been sending out. I can't keep up with those. I've got to get more of those made because I'm sending so many of them out. But the book Communion, easy to read, biblical. And so if you want to have a better understanding of it, just you can order that book as well. And it does a great job of explaining communion and Passover. And and Passover is so important that, get this, there's a makeup day. You know, I'm on the volunteer fire department, trying to still be on it. And you know, when we do our little pack test and physical fitness stuff, there's a makeup day for that as well, you know, the following week. And so that's how it is. When things are important, it's understood that you might not get always 100% participation the first time around. And so you have a makeup day. You know, you have snow days in case you get snowed in and can't get on the bus and get to school, or if the instructors can't get to the university. You know, you have snow days and you have makeup days for that. Well, Passover is so important that there's a makeup day. How about that? I don't know if everybody knows about that, but there is. It's a makeup day. You can read about it. I don't think I'll take time tonight. The makeup day is May 2nd, 30 days later. You can read about it in Numbers 9. You read about it and see if that's not what it says, because that's what it does say. And but it talks about a time that they were in the wilderness, and God says, keep the Passover, and some people weren't able to do it at the appointed time. And so they were told that they could do it 30 days later. But it's just that important. It is to have this observance. And so it's May 2nd. And so anyway, if you missed it this past Sunday, you got a little time. You've got time to even if you don't understand it, to, you know, prove yourself worthy of a worker. The Bible talks about conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So if you're not familiar with this, if you are, just bear with me for a second, because there's a lot of new people that aren't. And so if you're not familiar with it, you got a little time to dig into it, to set time aside, to turn the old boob tube off, maybe a little bit, and look into this teaching and this biblical concept that is not taught in the Judeo-Christian churches. This ministry's been doing this since 2001. 2001, that was the year we moved out here, and that was the year that Pastor did the original mailing on the Passover and didn't get it out in time for the first one, and so did the makeup Passover. And since then, we've sure stressed and tried to do that original Passover, but if not, then the makeup is there. So but it's May 5th, and so if you have any questions or whatever with that, again, you can contact us at the office or order the book, Communion. You can do that on the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And it's eye-opening. It is. Lots going on in current events. Got a text from a brother. Tennessee is just... the Tennessee House of Representatives, they've expelled two, their second now, Democratic lawmaker, they say. It was says they've voted to expel another one. It says because they, I guess they led a gun reform protest, and you know, this follows this this deadly shooting at the Nashville Christian School this last week, and you know, it really does. Come down to the communist push for gun control. Okay? You know, here's a quote. "We called for you to ban assault weapons, and you respond with an assault on democracy." Well, good. Good, because we need to have a republic instead of a democracy. Okay? That's what we have. And so you get these they talk just to hear themselves speak. Okay? You know, and they have been taught, they have been raised to believe that the answer is to have more gun control. Listen, we already have gun control. People that have psychological known mental disorders like transgenderism and gender confusion, which are still listed in the American psychiatric whatever book or guidelines as mental disorders, the gun laws that are on the books are supposed to prevent those type of people from purchasing firearms. And so if, you know, that shows you, the people that have eyes to see, just how corrupt the system is, the judicial system, the FBI background check system, all of it, it shows you just how corrupt all that is, in that they don't follow the law, they don't hold people to the standards of the law and the consequences now. And so it doesn't have anything to do with caring about people that are killed in mass shootings. No, if they did, they'd shut down Chicago, because there's about 70 of those people that are shot in Chicago every weekend, usually about 10 to 15 murders. And Chicago has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation. But criminals don't obey the laws. And you know, with everything else going on, that we just have to make sure that we all understand that, and that we can properly. It's not, I guess it is defending the gospel. You know, Jesus said when he sent his disciples out the second time, he sent them out the first time and said, "Don't take anything extra. Just go. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take any extra money. Just go." And they went, and they came back, and they were just, it was, wow, you know, we saw Satan falling from lightning and all kind of stuff going on. But the second time he sent him out, the last time, he knew he was leaving, and he said, "Now this time, take your coat, take your extra purse if you got it, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak, and buy one. Because I'm sending you out as wolves, or as sheep among the wolves." And see, that's not taught today. Certainly not by the Judeos, because they're on the other side. At least the ministers are. They don't understand this, you know, that Jesus told them to do that. You know, when Peter cut off the soldier's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, guess what? Peter had a sword. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years. You think if Jesus was averse to you carrying a sword to defend yourself, that he might have made it known in those 3 years to Peter? Now, that was not the time. See, that's the teaching from when Jesus speaks to Peter and says, it's not the time for that. It's not. But Christianity is not a just run over me, should not be anyway, pacifist, never get involved in anything like that and not defend yourself. That's not biblical Christianity. It's just not. And in so many of our people are so far away from understanding that, because the Judeo-Christian preachers sure aren't teaching it to them. Anyway, so, well, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. Did you read the story last week? I think it was last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. I saw the headlines. A guy had his truck stolen. This tells you how... I don't think it's that people are mean and evil. They just are frustrated. Had his truck stolen, called the police. Oh, well, you know, stand in line. Good luck. It's probably headed to Mexico or blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't do anything about it. Can't. They are so overrun by the lawlessness that is just abounding in the land. Okay? They're overrun. Okay? So he has and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, like some type of tracker, like what they call an Apple tag or something like that, I guess that was on his truck. Kind of like a GPS, I think is what it was, something like that, if I read it right. I don't have the article here in front of me, I just remembered it. And so he, however he did it, tracks it down and finds out who stole it, finds the stolen truck. And then confronts the thief that stole it, ends up killing him. Now, you know, biblically, thou shalt not steal. And I don't know the circumstances that happened around that. I don't know, you know, I assume firearms. I'm sure a fight broke out. You know, if somebody will come steal your $40,000, $50,000 truck, it's not that you value your truck more than their life, but they do. They do. And you're seeing more and more of this. You know, you're seeing more and more of people are breaking in other people's homes where they shouldn't be, and they're getting killed. They're getting shot, whether it's by grandma or the 14-year-old teenager at home. And you are going to have to dig, Remnant, if you want to see it reported, but it's happening more and more. And I think that it is just, it's part of, I think, people that are, well, they're fed up. They're seeing people that are breaking the existing laws. They're seeing them get slapped on the wrist and turned back out on the town, as the old country western song says. And that's the time that we're living in. And if you think that God or Jesus Christ intends for us, for at least those that know Him, for those that have repented, that have returned to Him. No, that doesn't, you know, when we do that, Remnant, we understand that doesn't just, you know, take us away. That doesn't rapture us away from the tribulation that's going on today, the murder and mayhem and all that. But it moves us out of that that kingdom of sin and kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom of God, we are to provide for our own. We are to do our best to be doers of the word, to share this message, this true gospel message, and all that it entails, and all that it includes, with others. You know, had a that shooting at the Christian school there in Nashville that killed three adults and three children. An absolute attack on Christianity. If there's ever been a hate crime, it's a hate crime. That's according to the laws, the man's laws that are on the books. But, you know, before the people could get too worked up about it, what happened? Ex-President Trump, first time ever a president is charged and arraigned on literally some of the weakest charges you've ever seen on a business. Anyway, I don't want to get into it, but all of a sudden that's in the headlines. Why? Because the powers that be don't want you focusing too much on attacks on Christianity, and they don't want you focusing on transgender sinning homosexual whatevers shooting 9-year-old Christian children. They don't want you focusing on that. Oh, no. No. State University in New York in Albany had a... they had a little... what did they call it? I guess they had a protest against a Turning Point USA speakers discussion. You know, they come in and Turning Point comes in and they want to talk about things. They want to, you know, present truths and have a conversation, right? And they were doing it on free speech on college campuses. But, boy, the rebuttals that they were getting... it was all F words, all F bombs. I'm not gonna talk about it here. But that's all they can do is resort back to that filth and the flesh. Ripping up camera Bibles, and so, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. It is. Attacks on Christianity under the guise of free speech, under the guise of peaceful protesting, whatever it may be. And so, Remnant, I'm just hoping that we're seeing this, that we are. Again, not to... not to drive you to fear, but to drive you to obedience, to drive you to repentance, to drive you to the old song says, just a closer walk with thee, Lord, just a closer. Who doesn't want that, right? Who doesn't want a closer walk with God? Well, sometimes that comes with, you know, it comes in tribulation. I talked with a young man at the tire store yesterday. Had to get some tires swapped out late yesterday afternoon, he was talking about how tough it is financially. He's out there working 45 to 50 hours a week, tire shop pays him pretty decent. He's probably making $18 an hour. Not really a super skilled, you know. I mean, he changes tires and rims and, you know, but not a you know, diesel mechanic. But he's, I'd say $16 or $18 an hour, I'm sure. And just behind on his bills and talking that he just can't make it, you know, just can't make it. And so that drives some people to drink or to drugs or to stealing. But, you know, Remnant, what that is it is a wake-up call that, like we've been talking about, that this Babylonian system is failing. It's failing. And, you know, and they keep pushing. The enemy, just as this is happening, it just keeps pushing these sins of whether it's transgenderism or homosexuality or lying or adultery or murder. It just pushes this more and more and more. It is an opportunity for us to share. It's an opportunity for us to give people hope. You know, we sometimes people might not want to hear about Jesus. That's for sure. I mean, it's just that way. But you know, you can a lot of times talk about gun control. You can talk about how the politicians continue after it. It's just after every shooting, they keep pushing the same thing. Take the guns away. The guns are already taken away. Supposed to be. The criminals, the people that are committing these crimes, are not legally supposed to have firearms anyway. And that just seems to miss the point of so many. And so a lot of times you can, you know, you might be able to talk to somebody, a non-believer or someone that's fallen away, about those things. And, you know, we've got a couple of pastors got a great little booklet on gun control. Catchy title. Everything You Wanted to Know and Preachers Were Afraid to Tell You about Gun Control. And got a set of CDs. Be a Swinger. Register Your Guns. And we've sent a bunch of them out. But they do. They do a great job. And it's timeless. You know, the gun control measures that we're seeing now, they were threatening them for 30 years and then doing their best to enact them, and now they are enacted and they're just pushing for more. There's no appeasing these ungodly antichrist that want to rule and reign. They are communists. And it's, that's one of the communist goals. They have to, before they can take over, before they can do that, they have to disarm the population. They do. It's as simple as that. Well, I see the phone line's ringing. Hey, good evening and welcome to 7x70.
Hello, this is Joanne from Wisconsin.
Well, good evening.
And, you know, you were talking about Charlie Kirk from The Turning Point. He's a very Christian man, and it's very obvious that what's going on in all the colleges and schools, and it's such an attack on Christianity, it is unbelievable.
It is. It is. I think about, how Pastor Peters would react to today. I've realized it was his job to warn us. He said, this is what's coming. He took it out of the Bible and put it right in front of all of our faces and said, this nation, this is what's coming. And by golly, here it is. You're absolutely right. It is an absolute attack on Christianity. And
Jesus even said that in the Bible, that that's what would happen near the end times.
Yes. You know, he didn't say you just sit back and let it happen. You know, right. No, it's devastating. You know, our heart breaks at the shooting at this Christian school, you know, for the loss of life there. And, you know, but because there's evil in the land and it flourishes in times like this. It does. And, you know, and I think we are to do our best to have the ability to defend ourselves. Certainly to, you know, I do my best to love my neighbor as myself. But if that neighbor decides to try to harm me or my family, you know, I'm not going to just stand there and say, well, neighbor, I'm trying to love you as he's beating up my wife. Heaven forbid. You know, and that's where so many of these people are. They, even Christians, they just don't, it's like they're in this spell, you know. Anyway, I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but you're right. There's, and Miss Joanne, it's encouraging to me to see people like this Charlie Kirk and Turning Point and Kirk Cameron and several other Christians that have come out of Hollywood that are, you know, that are pushing and promoting more of a family agenda.
Very few of them, though, unfortunately.
Oh,
but still,
right.
They're making a change.
That's right. They are. I applaud them for it. I thank God for them.
Amen.
They do.
I'll
they are.
Go.
They're helping
Thanks
people
for
wake
being
up.
There.
Thank you. God bless. Good to hear from Miss Joanne in Wisconsin. And Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And like I told her, I've got neighbors. I've mentioned to you, I've got some new neighbors up the road, a family, moved out, escaped, they'll tell you, California. And I think it's a little bit of a, they've been here a year, a little bit of a culture shock from California to 15 miles out of town, out, you know, rural America, flyover state kind of a thing. And had the butcher come out, and they had a steer butchered today. And been kind of talking to him about that, and so went up there, and we got through that today, and it's just it's new for him. I certainly don't fault him in not, you know, understanding on that. I was it was cold, so we were sitting in the truck with a heater on, watching the butcher, dress the steer. And I was telling him, so, you know, look here, you see the white there, that's a good layer of fat, that's good. And what the butcher's doing with his saw, he's cutting the breastbone or the brisket or whatever, and, you know, where they can get the off the intestines and all that out, and what we'll do with them. But I told him, you know, and it was certainly in humility telling him, and it was like, you know, until I moved out here, I'd never seen a butcher do that. But it's just Alan, our butcher, he's been doing that for us for the last 22 years. And so, you know, I've had a little experience in that and sharing it with the neighbor. And we are to do that, Remnant. You know, we are to love our neighbor. We are to do our best to be neighborly. You know, we may be the only Christ that people see. And you can be Christ-like without mentioning his name. We are to be that way, right? We are to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And he says, if you love me, do my commandments and love your neighbor. And we are to look out for one another. And I can tell you, I've got different neighbors, and some are easier to get along with than others. It's a struggle. Some are, and I'm sure you're probably like that as well. And I think of a neighbor in particular that's very difficult to get along with, and sometimes I fail miserably at getting along with them. I try to repent and try to do better. But like I mentioned with Miss Joanne, in loving our neighbors ourselves, you know, if that neighbor turns and decides to do us harm, well, see, they've removed themselves from being our neighbor. I really think they do. You know, if they come against our life, liberty, and property, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, is the way the Declaration puts it, then see, they removed themselves from being our neighbor. You know, Goliath was not David's neighbor, right? And so he dealt with him a different way. Now, Saul, King Saul, was David's neighbor. And even though it was coming against him, he knew he was God's anointed, and he dealt with him differently. You know, they seem like just basic Bible concepts, and I guess I'm just bouncing around tonight. My apologies. But there's so many out there that just don't know, that just don't understand, you know, what you and I, Remnant, would call basic Bible teachings and basic Bible understandings. And so we have our work cut out for us. You know, we do. We have to educate with a biblical education, you know, those that are looking. It's sure hard to educate them if they're not, and help them along if they're not looking. And so I hope that's what we're doing. Again, spring is in the air. I hope you're getting started on your gardens. I still got to work on the hoop house outside. I got to get some new plastic in, but I did get some seeds in the ground and got them under a grow light, and started with some onion sets. I haven't done sets before. You know, they're 6 inches tall, and but I picked up a couple 40 packs of onion sets, and I've got some of those in, and probably going to trade a little bit with one of the neighbors too for some different ones, and just see how that goes. And so looking forward, I started the program. I am glad it's spring. I'm glad we got through the winter, and I'm looking forward to a beautiful spring, warmer weather. We're supposed to be in the 60s next week. How about that? And so I am very thankful for that and looking forward to that. I wanted to remind you also, I think I've got it right here. Yes, the last couple books that we've ordered, that we've put on, new books, very practical. One is the Small Scale Poultry Flock. It talks about being an all-natural approach to raising and breeding chickens and other fowl for home and market growers. And I've read through it. I think it's an excellent book. It covers it from chicken tractors, chicken homes, not on a huge scale. So it's really good for good advice for the backyard, backyard chickens. And that type of thing. And I'm sure seeing, as we've been talking about on Saturday mornings and whatnot, more and more people in our area are doing this. My neighbor from California got a dozen chickens, fixing to convert a little shed he doesn't really use to a chicken coop, and hopes to add more. So I hope that, that these books, if you don't, you know, if these things are daunting to you, if you don't know if you can do them or not, you know, you can always Google it to find out. But take a look at some of these books. You know, they do. It doesn't, if you're not real familiar with keeping chickens or livestock, it's not as impossible as you might think. And the other latest book we've added is called The Small Scale Dairy. And it's the same, kind of on the same concept, but... you know, if you want to know what it takes to successfully produce nourishing, healthy, farm-fresh milk, this small-scale dairy book will tell you. There's little more to dairy cows than there is to chickens. I can tell you, I've raised them both, and there's a little bit more, but that's okay. There's more and more people that are that are looking for that. And several books on gardening. Radical Self-Reliant Gardening is an excellent book that we've got. We've got the new, it's an updated, it's called The New Organic Grower. We've got the Living Soil Handbook. We've advertised them in past newsletters this last year or two. And again, just to try to pass on and share and make available some of this. And I use the term common sense, but more of, I guess, back to basics, you know, back to basics. My neighbor had the steer butchered today. It was beautiful red steer. He kept the hide. He said he wants to tan it and all that. And I said, oh, have you ever tanned one before? And he said, no. Nope, never have. So the butcher and I both were kind of giving him some hints and advice on that. And that's what we try to do as a ministry with especially these gardening books. I tell you, I've learned so much from them just over the past couple of years. And, you know, companion planting and succession planting. And boy, this last book, this Radical Self-Reliant Gardening, excellent chapters, not articles, but chapters on the composting and shredding, using shredded leaves and different things like that, that are, I mean, it's great knowledge. It's just that so many of us, we're just so removed from it, and have been for so long. I can remember growing up, and, you know, I had an Uncle Mutt, my Uncle Ted, Uncle Ernest. These were old men in their 80s, older men in their 80s that had gardens and went fishing and did those things and passed on, shared a lot of that knowledge. And it just seems like it's not that the knowledge isn't there. It's just maybe we've been a little busy to pick it up and carry it on. Anyway, again, didn't mean to be rambling, but just had a few things I wanted to share with you tonight. And being that it's springtime, it's what we're doing, you know. I would encourage you to compost. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. You can do it on a big scale, but you can do it on a small scale as well. You know, a gallon bucket size to a 5 gallon bucket size to a, you know, just a small corner in the backyard. And it helps. So, well, I do want to invite you back on Friday morning or Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We've had some really, I think, some pretty good talks lately, some good phone calls, and so I do. I do want to encourage you to, if at all possible, to join us. And again, you can do that at scriptures4america.org. And we get together at 7 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And, you know, we have good godly fellowship. And talk, you know, we talk about things and biblical items and current events and maybe what's working or what's not working for us. And we invite you to join in for that fellowship and thankfulness and praise to our God. And it's good to gather. And it's good to encourage one another. The Bible tells us to do that, to encourage one another, you know, even especially as we see the dark days that we're in. And so we encourage you to do that as well. You know, it's almost like taking supplements. When you take supplements, it takes a little while before they kick in. If you're taking supplements, say, for, you know, joint pain or, or discomfort, you know, usually it's a week or two before it starts kicking in. But if you keep taking the supplements, usually they help, right? Usually they help. But it's usually not like you just wake up and all of a sudden everything's better. And usually it's so gradual that you don't even realize it. And then pretty soon, 3 months later, you're like, hey, I don't have that anymore. You know, it's working. You're nourished by that. And I can tell you, folks, as much as we are influenced by the world, whether we realize it or not, from the news, from the TV, from Hollywood, from the music, from just everything in our lives that is there, we need godly fellowship as well to counter that. It's like that supplement. That if you don't take it, or if you stop taking it, you think, well, I'm fine, everything's good, I don't need that. You know, by the time you really feel it hurting, it might even be too late. And so, you know, a preventative is a whole lot better than repairing. How about that? You know, a little preventative medicine, a little preventative of keeping up with other Christian men and women, and keeping up with Bible reading and fellowshipping and it's preventative. It is, and it is much better than, you know, getting to a point where things break, and then having to repair them. And you know, Remnant, I know everybody's busy. I know the people I talk to anyway, you know, times are tough. The economy is in the pits, and crime is all over. And you know, we have His Word, His truth to turn to in all this. His Word is the answer. I think Brother Paul mentioned that the last time we talked, that, you know, no matter what it is, you got financial problems, turn to His Word. You got marriage problems at home, turn to His Word. You got health problems, turn to His Word. You got problems at work, turn to His Word. We read Philippians last night, and I think I'll go out with it. It's Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." A lot of anxiety today, you know, and we get anxious for things. But the Word tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and that means that's a humbly asking, a humble entreaty, and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that speaks of growth and wisdom and understanding that comes when we are anxious for nothing and we seek to grow closer to God. Well, Remnant, thanks. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning. God bless.
We had choices since the day that we were born. There were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today. Oh, living and dying with the choices we made.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.